name is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where we talk about the things that made us who we are and where we're going in the future.
Because every week we're finding a new way that we're growing up.
Hi, my name is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where 20-somethings navigate life apart together. Welcome back to this month on Martha and Colby Grow Up. We are very excited to have you. As always, just some housekeeping. As a reminder, if you pay us $15 once or over the course of the podcast, we will talk about whatever you want, including the four-hour Snyder Cut, if that's what you pick. The Venmo links will be in the description.
Martha posted that to me. It's like, what if someone told you, asking me, Colby, to watch the Snyder Cut? And I was like, yeah, I mean, if they really want me to talk about a boring movie, I've already done that once on the podcast. I can talk about another boring movie.
Wait, which movie are you referring to? Sammy the Way Out Seal?
Yeah, that was one of them.
Oh my God, do you remember? I was thinking in August-ish, it'll be about 2 years since we've started together, which has been that's pretty crazy.
That's so weird. Super weird. Anyway, moving on. We don't reminisce now, we reminisce later.
Question of the week of the month. What is your favorite snack food, Colby?
My favorite snack food, this is any brand, except for the one brand. I think Utz uses peanut oil, which I can eat even though I'm allergic to peanuts, but it's just like a really strong flavor and I don't love it. Jalapeno flavored kettle chips. I discovered these on a road trip to the beach. Me and my fiance and her family, we had like the kids car, even though we were all certified adults in the kids car, snacking on jalapeno chips the whole way down to Myrtle Beach, I think, or maybe it was the Outer Banks. I don't remember.
I don't like peanut oil or like peanut sauce either, so I'm with you. My favorite snack, well, here's a story. As always, I feel like I pick a question because I have a story about it. But last night I made roasted chickpeas and I was very proud of myself because it's a healthy snack. I'm like trying to lower my cholesterol as I'm drinking wine on the podcast, but you can't win them all.
Does wine have bad cholesterol in it?
Everything does.
Oh, okay.
Probably. I don't know. It's wine. Alcohol is generally not good for you. We'll just put it that way. So I made these roasted chickpeas with, they could have been a little bit more flavorful and a little bit more crunchy. Anyways, that is not my favorite snack though. I would have to go with the all-time classic Goldfish. I can pound a bag of those down in a night, like for real. They're gone in the morning.
Whales are better than Goldfish.
And so are the Trader Joe's rocket ships.
No, wait. I want to get to our guest because she made a face when I said that whales are better than Goldfish. But what is your snack food? And then we can talk about the whales.
Okay. My favorite snack food is a plain classic Lay's potato chip.
Wavy or
not? Not kettle style. No, just the regular plain ones. Elegant in their simplicity, salty, crunchy, delicious.
That's respectable.
Yeah, thank you. To turn back to the Goldfish, though, this is Goldfish slander. I don't care for it. They are the superior cheese snack food over everything, hands down.
God, I love
whales. Are just like Goldfish with flavor. Like,
I know what you're talking about, but they're not that common here. So, like, I don't have a lot of whale opportunities.
To be clear, I don't remember the last time I saw whales in the store. They might be discontinued, but
you're having a whale of a time.
I think it really depends on which like cheesy snack you grew up with, because we were a Goldfish house, so I love them, and I couldn't really abide by Cheez-Its for a long time because I didn't have them, and now I've grown to appreciate a Cheez-It on occasion. Oh,
white cheddar Cheez-Its, though, only.
Yeah, I like the extra toasty ones, which are, like, burnt a little bit.
You mean the brown ones.
They're very good. And because they hide the inferior Cheez-It taste, is probably
Friend of the pod, Irene, who has hosted a couple of game shows with us, we bonded over our love of white cheddar Cheez-Its, so I can relate to that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That wasn't like, it's just something else we have in common. It wasn't like the bonding moment.
Hey, food is important.
Food is the great equalizer. It brings us together. Anyways, guest, welcome to our podcast.
Hello.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
Hi, I'm Corinne, and I know Martha and Colby, I guess, kind of through how they know each other. And I am a lawyer. I live in Chicago, and I have a podcast that focuses on young adult literature read by two adults. It's called Act Ya Age. And yeah, that's me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. And if you haven't figured out, we are talking about law school and some of the
reasons.
I don't
know how you could have figured it out, except from the title. If you're just listening to this one line, it just came up in your podcast. Well, that's, and you figured out law
school. I just had to transition, man. I just had to transition. I don't see you doing the work out here.
Hey, we're like a Mary Shelley novel. She's all in mystery.
Yes, Corinne, welcome. Thank you for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So, Corinne, you are a lawyer. Mm-hmm. What made you decide to follow this career path, go to law school? Was it the show Suits with Meghan Markle? Why or why not?
So, Suits was on while I was in law school, which for some odd reason, I was not sick of law school enough to not watch that show. I mean, I watched it from day one. I think it came out like the summer of my first year of law school. So it was not that. It probably, if I was going to pick a TV show, it'd be Law and Order Special Victims Unit. Particularly liked Alex Cabot was the name of the DA in like the early seasons. And I really liked her. So I, part of why I wanted to go was definitely because of Law and Order, but also because I think in a lot of ways, I wanted something that highlighted things that I was really good at through high school and college, which is reading and writing, and also something that had some sort of performative element to it. I grew up doing a lot of theater and like public speaking generally, and I thought that that would be a good mishmash of all of those interests. And I don't think I really thought a ton about more like non-traditional career paths. I remember seeing some of the things my friends do now. I was like, oh, that's a career I really didn't know. I had kind of a one-track mind of like teacher, doctor, lawyer, nurse. These are the things I can do. And so I kind of just always had the law school idea in the back of my head and thought first I would try to maybe save and not have to go to school for another 3 years. So I majored in history and thought I would be a teacher, and I made it through a semester worth of teaching coursework and requirements and hated it. Luckily, my school had an in-classroom tutoring requirement before you could advance in the degree, and I made it through about 10 of the like 50 required hours and hated it and switched to pre-law. So that's how I got there.
Awesome. So what kind of lawyer are you now?
So I practice insurance defense litigation, which is kind of just a fancy way for saying if you get in a car accident and someone sues you, Geico, Traveler, State Farm, whatever insurance company you have pays lawyers, me, to come in and defend you. So it's mostly personal injury cases, but the defense side of things. And it's not just car accidents, but if someone falls in your store that you own and you have insurance, they pay lawyers. People who get hurt on construction sites, doctors who are sued for things like medical malpractice, we do things like that from the beginning of the case through to trial.
You're bringing me back to my law classes I took in school. Speaking of law classes, though, law school. Did you like it?
You know, I loved law school. I'm kind of a nerd. Like, you have to be a nerd to go to law school in a lot of ways, because you have to like studying and reading and writing and all those things that I talked about, which I do like. So I found the classes really interesting, and the work was hard, but not so hard that I was totally miserable all the time. I also had the benefit of going to a very in retrospect, I know now, is a very social law school. Every week we had something called Bar Review, which was at a bar on Thursday nights, and a different student organization put it on. We'd have a booze cruise in the fall, and we had Barrister's Ball, which is law school prom, in the spring. So we had a very full social calendar. Our first year of law school felt like a very natural continuation of senior year of college, which was maybe not for the best for all of us. So I felt very lucky that I did like it a lot. And it was fun in a lot of ways. And I think I just really like school. So that helps me too. That helped me get through it. But it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
So my dad very much wanted me to go to law school.
I feel like all dads want you to, like, my dad was like, oh, you'd be great at it. I'm like, I don't think so, but thanks for thinking of me. Like,
my dad, he offered to pay, like, mm-hmm. my LSAT fees. He was like, I will pay for it. Just go take it. I never did. How was, like, your process studying for it and taking it and waiting for results?
Yeah, so I took, like, the LSAT during maybe the summer before senior year, that spring and junior year maybe, and studied a lot that summer at my local public library. And I'm not kidding when I say I watched a lot of Law and Order Special Victims Unit. Like, I have vivid memories of having my study books, like, in front of me, and took the LSAT.
Oh, I thought you were watching it to, like, practice.
Well, you know, I feel like when you have Facebook memories that pop up, I don't know, again, this might be, like, dating myself because I am older than both of you, but I do have a lot of, like, just very melodramatic Facebook memories that come up from when I was in college and I was actively posting things like statuses, which people don't really do anymore. Or if they do, I'm not really interested in reading their Facebook. But
I have those too, but they are from when I was in eighth grade, so I really don't want to see them.
Different. Mine, I, like, still will see them sometimes that come up in the summer, you know, when I was studying, being like, Corinne hopes that she can learn how to study from the LSAT via osmosis as I watch Law and Order SVU. So that's how I know that that's
not the third person.
Oh, yeah, because you had to do third person back in the day. But so I studied a lot. I took it a couple of times. And then I just really tried to do all my applications in the fall of my senior year and applied to a bunch of places and then just kind of sat back and waited for them to come in. And I think I knew where I was going by this time around April of my senior year, and off I went. The LSAT was not fun though. I don't really like standardized testing, and it's really hard, and it's you're going to do how you're going to do on it. There's not much wiggle room depending on how much you study. I think that's the truth with all standardized testing. So that part of it was not fun, but got in to a bunch of places and ultimately ended up in Chicago where I live now. Just fun.
Would you recommend going into law school right after undergrad, or do you wish you would have waited a little bit?
I do wish that I had waited and perhaps worked in the legal field in some capacity before I committed to going to law school, solely for the financial implications. I'm lucky that I do like it a lot, and I like my job a lot, and I have a lot of pride in the fact that I am a lawyer. But at the time I graduated college in 2010, it was still in the thick of the financial crisis from 2008, and the job market wasn't particularly great. And so for me, it was just like, well, we're going to go to school. And my law school class was just inundated, not just my school, but the entire legal market was flooded in 2013 when I graduated. It made it really hard to get a job. And I know a lot of people who are very dissatisfied with the fact that they went to law school because they felt like they had no choice. So in retrospect, I may have made the same decision, but I think particularly when it comes to the financial ramifications with law school tuition, I think it's best for everyone if they go and have a more realistic sense of what being a lawyer is like, because it is, to bring it all full circle, it is not Law and Order. I mean, it kind of is in some regards, but it's mostly not.
So 1L, 2L, 3L, rank them from best to worst.
Oh, interesting. So, like, best in terms of how easy they were or how much fun they were, or?
You can interpret.
Okay. So 1L was the hardest and the most fun. The most studying, it's so hard. Law school exams are really hard to master. And I was very stressed that year in particular because it really sets your foundation in terms of how you're going to do throughout the rest of law school. But it was the most fun, the most social of the 3 years for me. Maybe that's why 1L was so hard. I don't know. Is it because I was at the bars all the time? I don't know. But so I think that was the best in some ways, is the worst in some ways. 3L is also the best in some ways and worst in some ways because it's totally unnecessary. It is a racket that you have 3L here. My last semester worked 2 jobs and took, you know, 3 real classes. And then I was in some extracurricular activities that I got class credit for. And I was barely at school and I was still paying a full tuition for it. You really need that practical experience to get hired anyway. And it's really silly that they have a full third year. So in that way, it was kind of the worst, but it was the best because you're at the end and you're not actually having to take many classes at that point. You're working and you're just really ready to chomp at the bit. 2L, in the middle either way.
Okay, so you mentioned that you are a litigation attorney. Is that the correct phrasing?
Litigator.
Mm-hmm. Litigator. Okay. What made you want to go into that versus, I know we have some friends that are corporate lawyers or, you know, like public defenders.
Yeah.
What drew you to that?
So being in the courtroom for me was synonymous with being a lawyer. I didn't, again, in terms of my naivete going through my schooling, in terms of what jobs I think there were, I also didn't even really think of corporate lawyers as being a thing. It just wasn't a concept that I really had in my mind. I couldn't conceive of people wanting to go to law school and wanting to do anything other than being in a courtroom. So that was always a very big thing for me. And again, because I wanted to do something that is performative, and it is in a lot of ways, you know, I knew I wasn't going to be an actress on the stage or anything like that. But I do have to act in a lot of ways when I'm arguing a motion in court. When you're on trial, you have to very much school your persona in front of a jury. And so all of that was really appealing to me. And that has been the hardest part for me during COVID times, is that there is no court. We don't go to court. We maybe sometimes do Zoom court, and it does not feel the same at all. The really essential things about being a litigator and being in the courtroom has been stripped away, and that's been really hard. So for me, that is the most exciting part of my job. I do like to argue, and I think that's kind of my Leo nature. It's kind of just who I am.
Uh-oh, 2 Leos on the call.
Hey.
I don't argue. When do I ever argue with you?
I'm just saying.
But it's like a healthy way to channel that like aggressive side of me. Yeah. Like I have to do it for my job. So that part of it all really appealed to me. And then when it came to something like, you know, you said like public defender or something, you know, again, I'm not kidding you when I said I wanted to be Law and Order. Like, I wanted to be a prosecutor. And I learned in law school, for many reasons, a lot of which are coming up nowadays, too, that I did not agree with a lot of our criminal justice system. And I wouldn't feel comfortable being a prosecutor for the way our system is set up. And so I didn't really want to do the public defender side either for different reasons. And then you just start looking for private jobs. And a lot of what I do is people law. So that appealed to me. Yes, insurance companies pay us to represent you, but my clients are people and businesses. And I interact with people, and I'm not dealing with heavy detailed contracts on a daily basis. I'm interacting with people. So it seems like a good balance. And again, also, the job market being what it was, you kind of fall in somewhere. And I was lucky to fall in somewhere I liked.
So you mentioned Zoom court.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, did you see, it was about a couple months ago, the surgeon who was doing surgery. He was doing like plastic surgery in the middle of his, he was just like traffic court or something.
I did see that one. I thought you were going to say the cat, which of course I saw the cat too, where the guy was like, no, I'm not a cat.
I feel like that was like the same week. Yeah. There's the cat.
The doctor then came up. I did see that, which is really wild. And then I think one of those two, the same courtroom, like a week later, was a case where it was actually kind of scary, where a woman who'd had a restraining order out against a man, they were on a Zoom hearing with respect to this. And all of a sudden, someone figures out that they were in the same room, which is obviously a violation of this protective order. And they had to send the cops to the house to get the guy out of there. But it's like, what are these people thinking? The moral of all these stories is, what are these people thinking? I feel weird. I mean, you guys can see it on the Zoom. You can see a bed behind me, and I feel even weird appearing in front of a judge with that, let alone like performing surgery. Like, I can't imagine what some of these people are thinking.
On the flip side, were you worried about turning into a cat or a potato?
I am always concerned that accidentally something will happen, and that can happen. And I think a lot of times I have one family member who asks me all the time, like, aren't you nervous to go in front of a judge? And I'm not, because I'm used to it. But I do think a lot of times people forget that they're just people, and I've never really been totally reamed out by a judge unless you do something absolutely horrible and you start yelling at them or something. So even if there was a Zoom snafu, I think I'd be okay. They would probably laugh. We all need something to laugh at these days, so.
So what's the wrong reason to go to law school? I feel like you had a good reason, a good plan of going to law school. What's the wrong reason to pursue that path?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
I think money is probably a bad reason to go to law school. I think that if you want to make six figures out the gate and really become a high earner, it's certainly possible, but it is so much work. And that work-life balance or lack thereof never really appealed to me. And I think the reality is for most lawyers that is not where you end up salary-wise. So I think that if you want to have a life where you work all the time and make that money, absolutely go to law school. And that's why I think it's so important to try out jobs or volunteering in the legal community, so you get a sense of what it is beyond that big law lifestyle, because so much of it is so different. I have, out of, you know, all of my friends I know from law school, only a couple who went that path, only one of whom has stuck with it to this point. And, you know, I see him, but not as much as some of my other friends. So I think that you have to be really realistic about the fact that you might not make that much if you want to have work-life balance. And if you're going to have loans on top of it, is that mathematical equation going to be worth it for you? And I don't know that for a lot of people it would be after all that.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely a huge responsibility to, you know, take on all these loans, continue your education, because like a lawyer is something you do need a degree for, you know, just like a doctor or whatever. So, I feel like it definitely would be a hard decision. Mm-hmm. I know personally, I'm kind of like anti-grad school and I don't want to do it. But I imagine for people that do, you know, I feel like it takes a certain amount of, or like you have a certain amount of privilege. If you're like, yeah, that's going to work for me. Like I can do that. Cause I feel like not everybody can do that. And I'm not saying that you're like extra privileged, Corinne, but you know, like I think at the time you also didn't have as many options because of the economy, but mm-hmm. Now that people are choosing to like go back to law school, I don't know.
No, I was going to say, I do think now that things are better, oh my God, when did I graduate? 11 years ago, I started law school. Things are much better. And I think people are being much more intentional in their decision to go to law school, which I think is really important. And I know enough people now that have their law degree and they're not practicing anymore. And including my husband is like that. And that's all fine and dandy. It's still nice to have those JD letters after your name, but again, mm-hmm. again, that's a point of pride for me, but I think I probably would be okay too, or happy doing something else too. And it's all such a decision you have to make on a personal level and whether it works for you.
Well, I've been scared out of my stupid question. So,
go for it. I want to know what it
ask
is.
Ask the stupid questions. Come on.
Nope. Time has passed.
We've been so serious.
Corinne, what is your everyday like?
So I'll answer for normal times because it's much more exciting than COVID times. So normal times, I go to the office and I'm probably in court 3 mornings a week, I would say, either in Chicago where my office is located or in the surrounding counties we practice in too. So I might have to drive somewhere, which is actually always very nice to get out of the office for a little bit. Then I'm so those hearings are normally in the morning, just either status hearings on what's going on in the case or arguments before a judge. And then I either go back to the office and work on any of the many, many tasks I have, both to progress the case along and keep my clients apprised of what's going on in the case. A lot of report writing, motion writing, things like that. Or I'm in depositions and I probably, again, have a normal, more normal times, 2 to 3 depositions a week as well, which are, if you don't know, it's a chance to ask a witness under oath about the facts of the case, what if they're a witness, what they saw, if they're a party to the case, what happened when they were involved in this accident, if it's a company and you want to know about their cleaning in this store where someone fell because they said it wasn't clean, you ask them about their policies, procedures, things like that. So those are a huge part of my job. And that's usually it. Most cases in the civil arena that I practice in don't go to trial. I think it's like 97% here in Chicago where I practice do settle. So I haven't had a ton of trials in my years of practice. It depends on your specific firm. Some places, for reasons, have more trials than we do. Depends on your clients. But I've had literally 3 in 7 years. So when you... I'm not there running these huge trials every day, but that's the case for some lawyers, just not me. Well, all that's a lot different these days with COVID, but I'm looking forward to someday getting back to that again. Getting out of the office is always really nice.
Yeah, I was talking to, I don't know, whoever, but I was like, I kind of miss the office. Like, I'm kind of ready to go back. I'm sure I will regret saying that, but
you will, yeah. Because I'm there. You will.
Well, but for the aspects you mentioned, Corinne, like, you know, being a lawyer is like performative. Mm-hmm. You get to talk to people. I do miss talking to people, but I also miss cussing out my coworkers who are being dumb and they can't hear me. So
there's definitely, you know, there's pros and cons for sure. Yeah, for me, it's the biggest thing is I didn't know how much I relied on those built-in breaks in my day. Like, my office is 10-minute walk from the courthouse, and that was always a really nice way to like unwind and reset and think. And if I go to a different lawyer's office for a deposition, that's another 10-15-minute walk. And so just little things like that are really beneficial to your mental health in a way that you don't realize until they're taken from you. They're like, oh no, I needed that. And it's harder to force yourself to do that in these circumstances, but we're making it work. Light at the end of the tunnel.
Indeed. What are, I mean, I don't know if there's a good answer to this question, but what are you looking forward to in like the future of law? Like, have you thought about that? Like the new generation of like Gen Z lawyers or something?
That's an interesting one. I think on a broader scale, not related to what I do, I'm very encouraged by how just Gen Z is generally in terms of maybe changing some of these systems and working to change them from the ground up. Reasons why I did not want to pursue certain paths when I was coming out of law school in terms of government work and things like that. So that's all really encouraging. I'm really excited to see how technology continues to change the law. It's every year I've practiced, it's become more and more technologically savvy. In a lot of ways, law is stuck in the Stone Ages. For instance, we have to mail things all the time if we want to subpoena someone for a deposition, for instance. So there's things like that that we're still clinging to more traditional ways of doing things. And for better or worse, 2020 and 2021 has catapulted us a little bit more into technology than the legal industry probably would have done otherwise. So that's really exciting and excited to see how that continues to change. compared to, it's funny, my bosses who all could be my parents, you know, they talk about when how they used to have their typewriters and if they wanted to change something. I mean, this was the 80s. So it wasn't even that long ago, but, you know, it would be so hard for their assistant to change what they wanted them to change. And so it's so funny to see that versus even where I started in 2013 versus now, everything just adapting accordingly.
Totally. Yeah. I guess my final question is, do you see yourself staying in law, or do you see yourself maybe like getting out, doing something different, like, or like still being, I guess, in the legal field, but maybe not so much, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I don't know that I necessarily want to do precisely what I do for my entire career. I think I still have a lot of enthusiasm for it, but I can see how that would wane. It's tiring and it's a lot to juggle cases and litigation. Mm-hmm. I would like to, if I were to move on someday, I would maybe want to do something that is more like the analytical side of the law. For instance, you know, I have clients I report to and I tell them how my case is going, and a lot of them are lawyers themselves and they're kind of evaluating things on their end. And I would be interested in that someday, but it'll come at a time if and when I'm sick of the things that are what I said drew me to what I do in the first place, going to court, doing depositions, the things that feel very lawyery, if I'm willing to give those up someday for the more like analytical side of the law, because it'd be sad not to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Martha had her last question. I still have a couple. Great. One, can I get people to call me an Esquire if I haven't been to law school? I just want people to call me an Esquire.
So I am embarrassed that I don't know the exact answer to this, but there is a distinction. I'm pretty sure Esquire applies if you've passed the bar. It's different than JD.
Mm.
So there are states that you do not need to go to law school and have a JD to take the bar. I think like California is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Kim Kardashian.
So I think that that's the distinction between JD and Esquire. No one email us. I'm like embarrassed. I've literally never used the term Esquire to describe myself. So I'm like, that's very old school for someone to do that.
You should.
I think I am. Well, maybe I'm not one. I don't know. I don't know.
Corinne, what is the best part of your job?
Ooh.
I'm stealing these last two questions from Ologies. I don't care. I'm asking them anyway.
The best part of my job is going to court. Like, it's really fun for a lot of reasons. I like to argue, like I said. It's also a chance. It's the most social part of my job. You go to court and there's hundreds of attorneys around. I get to see people I went to law school with or I had old cases with. And it just, again, it feels the most lawyery. I wish sometimes that this is so nerdy, but like I did a study abroad thing when I was in law school in London, and you know, the barristers there, they wear like the robes and the wigs. And I loved that like theatrical side of it. Cause it is very much like being in a show doing theater. And I would like love to have it be even more official. It's not anywhere near as official as that, but that it feels that way sometimes. And I wouldn't mind the wig, I don't think. If I could do it.
I want that for you too.
I have a picture somewhere of me in the wig from when I did the study abroad thing in London. It was a special look. It was also like in a very old man's wig. And so it just felt like it had seen some better days. Maybe I would like a fresher wig for myself. But
they probably used it for like everyone.
You know, it was definitely on multiple people's heads right before it was on mine.
Eek.
And my last question, I probably should just flip these around, but I'm going to end on this one anyway. What's the worst part of your job?
Oh, billing hours. I have to bill hours. I don't know if everyone knows what that is, and that's not a lawyer thing. It's a specific to my industry, but we are not, in order to generate income, we have to charge our clients for our services. And so every single task I do has to be accounted for. And I have a minimum I have to meet every year. And it's just really hard sometimes when you have a day where you're kind of tired and then you've got something else going on or you leave early or you go on vacation. And then those are negative days. They're 0 days or lesser days, and you have to make up for them. So that's very hard and challenging. And it's kind of a drag. You can get used to it, but sometimes it would be nice just to be like, take a day and have it not be, I have to make this up sometime.
I would not do well with that either. Mostly because I like to rock like a tight 40 hours a week, and I don't want to work more than that. So
yeah, so that's the thing, right? Like if I try to bill 40 hours in a week, that could happen in 40 hours, or it could take me 60 hours, or it could take me whatever. And in some ways it's good because, okay, if I get in the office late, what difference does it make if I got in late, if I start billing and I bill all day? Mm-hmm. You could be there 10 hours and bill 8 hours. You could be there 8 hours and bill 8 hours. It really just depends on your efficiency and what you're doing. And that's what's much easier about being at home, because I like my coworkers and I like to talk with them, and you're talking with them though, and you're not working or billing. So, but yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah.
That would be why I left, if I went and did something else, because I don't want to do that. It's not fun.
Corinne, thank you. We appreciate it.
We do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was fun.
Do you have any closing thoughts on being a lawyer, the law, generally?
I don't. I want to just give a quick plug, because it keeps dancing through my mind as I keep talking about law being like a performance. The movie musical Chicago, Billy Flynn, played by Richard Gere, is like a tap dancing lawyer, and it is very true, and it's what I was like thinking of this whole time. So
in Chicago.
Yeah. Give him the old razzle dazzle is the song about like basically putting on a show for the jury for a trial. Oh. And check it out, because that's an intersection of several of my interests, musical theater and the law. No.
They both reach,
they both for, reach the for the gun. See? Colby knows. Colby, my people.
And I just have a question. Where can we find you if we want to listen to more of you?
Sure. You can find my podcast, Act Ya Age. That's Act YA Age, like young adult books. Get it? Get it? It's a pun that works much better visually than spoken. And every time I say it on our podcast, every time.
Yeah. I mean, because I know what it looks like, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But
you know, it does make sense. So we are on Twitter and Instagram at Act Ya Age. And the podcast is called Act Age. And we're wherever you listen to podcasts. And our website is actyaage.com. And I am on Instagram if you just want to follow me there. I talk about books that aren't just YA at Rin, R-I-N-N-E underscore reads.
And Colby, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Colby Complains, and the podcast Never Made Varsity, where we are keeping track of the transfer portal and also the goings on with the new head coach of Carolina men's basketball, Hubert Davis, as well as Four Nations Report with Martha talking about Avatar, The Last Airbender. We're almost done.
Can you believe it? Like, we are almost done.
How many more weeks do you have?
We're recording our last episode in the middle of May.
Whoa, like May, that went fast.
Yeah, I think there's 5 total. I mean, there's more episodes of the show left, but we're doubling up for some of them. So, since no one asked, but I'll tell you anyway, you can find me on Instagram at Real Martha Riley. You can find me on the Four Nations Report with Colby, and, you know, guesting around on podcasts. I've been on Corinne's podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm always here. I'm always around. So thank you for listening to this podcast. We'll be back next month. We're talking about mentorship, which I'm excited about. Until then.
Until then.
Find us online at www.marthaandcolby or on Twitter and Instagram at Martha and Colby.
Thanks to Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
Thanks to Jordan from Dreamful Podcast for the artwork.
Shout out to Irene, even though you don't listen to this podcast.
Don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon.
Now I'm recording.
I'm also recording.
I'm recording.
Okay. And we're going to do a quick sync clap. So yeah, it's going to be
3, 2, 1 clap. Colby will.
Actually, it's going to be 1, 2, 3 clap either way. Okay.
Sorry. Excuse me. Jesus. We're not that. You forget. Sorry.
Next question. Don't second to last question.
You forget about me.
Are you good? You done?
That was lovely.
No, I'm sad that you forgot about us.
Ooh.
Me?
What about us? What about everything we've been through?
All I know is the last time Martha was on my podcast, Act Your Age, she also started singing like this. It was very lovely.
I sing often on podcasts. I'll be honest.
Chase was a pop culture beast.